Welcome back to Dylan Friends. Big, big week, big show. Sitting down with Tony Armstrong and Mick Barlow. And also a dropping call from Tommy Sheridan. We talk all things grand final. What a big week it is. Honestly, very excited for this one. Being in lockdown, not doing much at all. Footy has been a bit of a saviour, especially this final series. The last couple of weeks haven't been great. But I think the two best teams are ready to go. So sitting down with the boys, sit back, relax. Let's go.
My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast.
Many ways I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Tears.
Strength.
I'm like, I run. She's like, everyone runs. I'm like, but does everyone go to the Olympics?
They're sitting there meditating, going, oh my God, I think I'm meditating. How good is this? I'm meditating. It's
like, we had a Wu-Tang call. So I was like, yo, Dylan, thanks for getting us in.
Just love it.
It's knuckle puck time. Yeah.
It's like don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Well, welcome back to Dylan Friends. This is a big episode. The first episode back in studio with my friends, Tony Armstrong, Mick Barlow. Boys, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dil.
Hey, Tone. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm great. Excited to be here. How good's this studio?
It's very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Another new stew. I feel like it's so big that it can't just be the stew anymore.
It's a stewy. Dew.
Dio?
We're 30 Dio. Seconds in. And you bring up the last guy that sacked me already.
We're talking about a lot today. We've heard the stories. But boys, it's great to see you again. We're back in studio. We're allowed. COVID safe. Check the laws. Don't at me. Don't be getting in my DMs. We're allowed to be here. I checked off with ScoMo. Checked off with Dan the Man. We're here.
Hey, Dil. I tried to check off with you with getting in here.
Yeah.
That wasn't great for me.
I apologize. My phone ran out. Like, this is honestly what happened. You don't want to keep Tony waiting. You don't want to keep Mick waiting. My phone ran out of battery. And I knew that the boys are going to be waiting at the front.
There's a bit of Tommy Sheridan to this, isn't there? There's organise something, say 4:30, be here. And then you get here at 4:30 and doors are closed.
Well, we all know Tommy Sheridan likes to be the guy to rock up. Music's playing. Everyone's already having a good time. Music stops. In he walks. That's what he thinks he's the main character. That's Tommy Sheridan.
And we will speak to Tommy.
Although, Tommy, mate, you and I... synergy.
Tommy's going to be with us today. He is, Mick, we've said this before, he is a COVID escaper. He has not done a lockdown for, I don't think it's even happened.
Also, do we all think we're Freddie Mercury? What's going on?
I know.
I got told. Like,
He's on. We're here.
Anyway, continue. Yeah, continue. Traino's dodging COVID. COVID. Freddie's over there. Now I'm Freddie again.
Tone, you have... It'd be remiss of us not to talk about... You have gone viral in the last day. In the last week, sorry. With talking about Tim Payne's bulging dick.
Yep.
That has been big for you. You've genuinely
and
exploded.
And him.
And him. You've both... Talk us through that. What's been the fallout? Because even on a serious note, you've just exploded. It's everywhere.
Sounds like a euphemism.
I wish I knew what that meant.
The thing about it is, it's like, it's just been this really, like, I said dick on air and...
On the ABC.
Yeah, well. on the ABC and...
Grandma's watching.
I love working for the ABC because, you know, we tell the truth. You know, we've got an honest North Star. We aren't influenced by any of those commercial beasts. And then here I am talking about Tim Payne's bulging dick. And I fell upwards.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
You land your cat.
Talk to us how you didn't even scramble to catch it back. Loved it. You owned it and you went with it.
The only way to deal with something like that is to acknowledge that it's happened, right?
Acknowledge.
Like, especially when you're on live TV to the nation and you've just said dick and that's definitely not the word that you meant to say, which is disc. You can see how it happens. Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, I've said that.
The
and
S is silent.
Yeah, yeah. The S is silent and it's morphed into a K.
And then jumped. Yeah. The C.
And so the thing was, like, as I'm reading my auto cue that I wrote horribly, riddled with spelling mistakes, Michael and Lisa are sat next to me. And the two of them are doing raspberries. Like they can barely hold it. They're covering their mics, trying not to laugh. Like I'm trying to get through it. I look over at Lisa. She's she's not crying down her cheeks. She's crying like straight out of her eyes. Just turns out everyone loves a good old dick gag.
Yeah, dicks are funny, man.
And people love gaffes. Like yes. if you stuff up and maintain your composure, people love it.
Yes.
If you stuff up and shrink like a violet, people don't like it.
Ross Lyon never liked when you stuffed up but maintained your composure. It was kind of one and the same. You had to do it right and be composed.
Yeah, but see, this is why you actually had an AFL career worth talking about.
Yeah.
I always shrunk like a violet, but managed to, you know, compose myself afterwards and explain exactly why, because I was shit scared and there was some big dude chasing me. That's why I kicked it out on the floor again.
It's fair to say.
Mate, that's bloody Nick Natanui. What am I going
to
do?
It's fair to say your composure has improved over the last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, it's because I don't actually, I'm not contractually obliged to touch anyone.
No, it's
which is good for me.
Now, we will get into the show. Now, we caught up early this year, Footy Friends. We did some amazing analysis of what was going to happen. It was good fun.
We played everything we said didn't happen.
We'll look into that very quickly. But
I think I said Swans will bounce.
And they did.
Ben Keys was going to be a good player as well.
Let's start it now. Pre-season predictions. If you haven't heard this, Footy Friends back in the start of the year, would have been around February, March. Mick said for the left field, best and fairest. You said, sorry, for the best and fairest, how good are the Dogs going to be? Great midfield. Stephen Martin will win the BNF.
Ooh.
And then you said Tim English 50-50 to be in their side. That's okay. Not bad.
Well, dogs
that's two good. Out of three. That's two out of three.
Yes.
And Stephen Martin only through injury.
And very important player coming into the grand final, which again, Dill, we'll get to.
We will. Tony, you said surprise top 8 entry, Sydney.
Well done.
Knock but on. He'll kick 1,000.
And the only thing that held him back again was injury. Had he played every game, he would have won the Coleman.
Didn't officially injure himself, though, did he? It was more the
load management.
We know what it's like, though. When they say load, there's definitely something going on.
Yeah, they don't want to pay them. They don't want to pay their match payment.
Yeah, and he'd be on
matches. Matches for Buddy. Imagine if Bud rocked up
400 a game, 400K.
Imagine if Bud rocked up at your club and he's like, and the club was like, yeah, no, mate, sorry, mate, you're on matches. He'd be like, I'll buy the club. And then I'll put myself on a salary.
Tommy Sheridan said the bat.
What did I say again?
You said Sydney will be top 8 and Buddy will kick 1,000. So I'm going to give that a tick.
And I got a tick. So tick, tick.
Yeah,
tick.
Tommy Sheridan
Trainer,
said,
here we go.
Tommy what Sheridan said the Cats will win it by a mile. And this is disgusting by me. And it's the reason I've been so pissed off all year. I said West Coast v Brisbane. West Coast will win it hands down.
Yep.
That's disgusting. And to be honest, I still stand by that. West Coast have pissed down my back and told me it's raining this year.
We're not immune to the big call, and that's a big call. You said hands down. And I do some other stuff with you, and at about round 6, you said Richmond will win it hands down.
Yeah, no, I would not want anyone to do an export of what I've said this year because it contradicts every week. I'll be on RSN 1 week, I'll tip the Doggies, and then I'll be on Triple M and I'll tip the Ds, even when they're not playing, Mick. So that's what I do. Line calls, we said the best... Tony, you said the best forward line this year is West Coast. Again, Oscar Allen will have a huge year, which is somewhat true.
I got trolled by that forward line. It was all glitz, no glamour.
It was.
They'll bounce back this year. They're the best team.
No, we've been saying that.
No.
We've been saying that since they won the flag.
I know, but they are the best worst team in the AFL. They should be. West Coast are the most talented.
You literally finish where you finish because you're that good.
They've never had COVID in WA, and they play...
I know.
Like the missed opportunity for West Coast this year, I think they're going to...
Yeah. So do I, Mick. I think they're going to be sort of like 10 to 14 next year.
But what do you put that down to? You look at their list. Natanui, Luke Shuey,
Darling,
had a bit of injury. Oscar
Shuey
Allen.
Didn't play. They couldn't figure out where to play Oscar Allen all year. He played back, he played forward, played a bit in the ruck. They had... Tim Kelly kind of
that probably hasn't better. Gone I don't want to be Tom Brown here, but that probably hasn't gone the way they would have thought.
And he came, I think it was third in their best and fairest, which says, or might have been fourth actually, it was Natanui, Gaff, Natanui, Sheed, Gaff, Tim Kelly,
yeah,
which says Tim Kelly's not going well enough, and for him not going well enough and having a year he did and finished fourth, the rest of them aren't going, they haven't got any depth,
yeah,
they haven't got anyone coming up.
It's a bit like Geelong, isn't it? Older boys are doing it. Mick, this one's funny from you, and this is a big one. So it's 50-50 here. You took the mids. And you said this, okay? The first thing, you said best midfield hands down is the Doggies.
Yeah, God.
Perfect. Josh Dunkley will play that 5th-6 Death Valley role this year, which is somewhat true. He's gone to play 5-6 and tags a little bit.
Is somewhat true your new thing? Have you heard that in the last couple of weeks?
You know my new thing is bullish. I've been saying that.
Who are you bullish on?
Oh, I'm bullish on the D's. Even when they're not playing, I'm bullish on them.
Mate, I'm bullish on people getting vaxxed.
Yeah, me too. And we're all double vaxxed now.
Doubled.
We're all doubled. Can I hardly move my arm. My last thing, though, with this, Tony, which is an interesting topic to talk about, and this didn't make the edit from last year.
I've got to duck out.
Do you remember Mick Barlow, a poor young bloke that at this stage had just been delisted
from
Brisbane?
Does he have the keys to the city?
He'd just been delisted from Brisbane. He went to Adelaide. He said, if this bloke is the key to your success at Adelaide, you're dreaming. And hasn't he just gone back and shoved that in Mick's face? We took this out of the podcast. We took it out because I said, I can't do that to Ben Keys. Mick Barlow absolutely slammed him. And I said, I'm not putting it in the show.
It was actually like, okay, so guys, who knows Dexter? Who's got the body bags? Because we need, like, there's a dead body in here.
So it's all good. It's all well and good. He had a nice year.
Nice.
So he had a nice year.
He had a very nice year.
Did he win the BNF?
Second.
Who
Rory Laird.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
So Rory Laird wins the BNF.
Jewel, three-time All-Australian.
And Ben Keys, second. And what I said...
From delisted to second in the BNF is pretty impressive.
If he is your gun mid, him and Laird, great years, good stuff. But they finished 15th. So I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. I said they had the worst midfield in the league. And I stand by it because Ben Keys is a good player. Rory Laird's a good player. I'm not going to throw anyone else under the bus. Yeah, I apologise, Ben Keys. You are a gun player.
Yeah.
But just what's around him isn't really getting to work. At Adelaide, and they finished 15th.
Mick, Rory led multiple All-Australian.
Yeah, good player.
Good.
Very good player.
Very nice player. Nice guy.
Tommy said the best back six in Geelong, worst back six is Adelaide. Somewhat true. Left field calls, this is just ridiculous by me. I said Jake Riccardi will be the number one key forward at the Giants. Zach Butters will go mental. He did what at the start of the year but got injured, and Paddy McCartan will get picked up. Now I'm still hoping that will happen. Tommy said Matty Tabner will win the Coleman. Mick, you said Hayden Young will win the Rising Star. And Tony, you said Ollie Ferrand. You just said they'll bounce this year. I'm not sure what that means.
So Swans, I think a lot of people thought they were trending
down.
I saw a bit of bounce in them in terms of they'll bounce from sort of 13th or whatever they finished last year. They should have beaten... who was it? I think it might have been...
Yeah, they lost to...
It was like the Bombers or something?
Saints.
Yeah, it's a bad loss.
Had they beaten the Saints, they finished top four.
Yeah.
So, like, on that, like, Swans this year, with all of those players early in their careers, of course, Bud's, you know, hanging on by 6 goals. He's not hanging on. He's a star. They would have finished top four with a double chance.
Yeah, it's impressive. Super resilient. Right. We're not doubting. You were correct.
Never
on
doubt
that.
Me.
That was
ever.
Pretty impressive.
And can I go to Train? Sorry.
Well, Train's about to join us.
Matt Tabner, we have to apologise to him because Train tipped him for the Coleman. And then the old handbrake came over halfway when COVID hit Victoria. Traino, where am I going? I'll go live in WA and I'll sleep on Matt Tabner's couch. What happens from there?
Downhill.
Matt Tabner can't get a kick because he can't sleep because he's got this behemoth out in the couch every morning he's waking up to, scratching his plums.
Let's check in with the man he is. He's over in WA. We've got to check in with this big fella because there's a lot to answer for. Tommy, how are you, young man? Are you there?
G'day, boys! these footballs, still, you know, these things, you're meant to grab them and kick them when you play two, you know?
You would not know a thing about it.
Oi, Train, mate, what's happened to your head?
What do you mean, man?
Zoom must be stuffing up. It just looks a bit weird.
Oh, nah, just got the fresh fade, actually, for the show, man.
Trino, gee whiz. Oh, I've got the receding hairline. You've got the receding...
Joe Rosito over here.
You've got the receding gum line. Those chompers are just out today.
I've actually hurt myself early in the week, actually. I'm surprised I'm even here.
What'd you do?
I got a bulging dick.
Oh my god! You know what, Train? That's the first time I've heard that one this week. It's amazing. It's amazing that like 4 or 5 days after, you know, an internationally famous gaffe, you can be someone to come up with something like that for the first time. It's unbelievable.
It is, mate. I think you couldn't have done it on a better stage as well. I wish I did that on television.
Hey, Traino, we're just going through our pre-season predictions, and I've made a public formal apology to Ben Keys. That's okay. So that's done.
As he needed to, but with his hat in his hand, Tommy.
But you, Train, you, Matt Tabernacle, you've tipped him as the Coleman medalist, and he was getting a nice run on there through the middle of the year. And you're actually probably sitting on his couch right now. You've ruined his season, son.
I'm sleeping in his bed as well, Mick. he needs to stay on the path, mate. I don't know what he's doing, but the big fella's on.
Yeah, he's got a train in his house.
He needs to be himself hard fit in pre-season, Mick. A bit like me and you. We used to be good in pre-season.
We were, and this time when you borrowed his car, Matt Tabernacle, again, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Is this the Diesel Instagram?
I think you haven't done it again, have you, Train?
You didn't put the diesel in the car.
Why do you call Matt Tabernacle Diesel?
No, he picked me up one day from the airport, and the NFL was on, and I was, you know, hurry up, mate, hurry up, don't want to miss it. And he put unleaded in his new Hilux, which requires diesel, and then proceeded to blame me on the middle of the freeway.
Tommy, I'm 100% on your side for two reasons. One, the NFL, we always need to hurry up and get back and watch that. Pretty trash game on Friday. That game sucked. Washington versus New York. Like, sweet, mate. Let's watch paint dry. But
it was a good game, though. It was a good game.
Shut up, Tommy.
No, it wasn't. It sucked. Second point, how do you not see the huge thing that says this is a diesel car on your... your diesel thing.
That's fair.
On the side of the car.
If you've
got the ability to see the Bowser, you've got the ability to see that says diesel.
I agree. I've got the Mazda BT50 from South Morang, and that has got diesel. just to let you know, the big fella, the Mazda BT50 kicking three outside the G, and I have that. And every time I fill up,
Hugo Boss, I see diesel.
So a big shout out to them. Hey, Traino, before we get into the grand final chat and a bit of your things going on,
we need
to hit you up, mate, because you've absolutely just taken the media by storm. You'd think having one of your best mates in me being the number one podcaster in Australia that you'd hit me up and maybe, you know, a few tips on some podcasting or whatnot. But obviously you started the podcast through Aus American Aces, your new venture, which is very exciting. Make sure you check that out at Aus American Aces NFL hotspot. Absolutely incredible podcasting, right, everything. It's fantastic. Instagram, YouTube, everything there. But you had your first episode on the weekend, and you fell into a little bit of drama with a couple of... Let's just have a listen here and see what's happened.
I've just chucked it on YouTube. A lot of respect to anyone that does a podcast or a show. There's a fair bit of work behind the scenes. But Benny Graham, one of the first Australians to play in a Super Bowl, played at four clubs in the NFL, got some amazing stories, and, if you want to...
Hope it was better than that fucking story, Train.
Train, if you want us to listen to your podcast, mate, I don't want to fall asleep to the Instagram story when I'm listening to it.
Train, thank God you did that in a wind tunnel. Because Train's actually jumped out of a plane and gone, yeah, I'll start now. Yeah.
I'm just going for the soft launch, boys. I'm waiting for the
Your soft launch with the biggest launch of ever, Ben Graham.
And we'll pinch a bit here, Dil, because the soft launch... And you gave him a lead where to go and where to find it. And this bloody happens.
To message me, you got to search Aus American Aces. And then under there, you'll see Tommy Talks. I didn't realise there was a Scottish man that's already named one. So big apologies to Tommy.
So, Train, you started the...
You thought my gaff was bad. Oh. You researched it, mate.
What's happened there? What has happened there?
Mate, that bloke fucking rolled me, that Tommy fucking Jared from Scotland. He fucked me.
Train. I reckon the joke's on all the listeners that you've got, which I'm not sure there's many at the moment that go to Tommy's Talks.
Well, there's three of us at least.
And they listen and they see a 40-year-old Scottish bloke with no hair and they think, oh, is this what Tommy's talking about?
geez, I'm not receiving that much effort.
No.
Jeez, if we're post footy's not been that good for Tommy.
Mate, I had a bloke listen to it for 2 minutes and he goes, you can't be. I go, what is wrong with you, mate?
Trino, you're doing some great things.
You're giving me abs, mate.
It is flying. In all seriousness, check it out. Oz American Ace is obviously brought to you by Rick's. And speaking of Rick's,
we love Rick's.
We do want to talk about Rick's because think last one, I promise, but you're over in WA at the moment. You've had access to all the boys. You'd think that you'd let them chill out going into the biggest game of their life. I've just been on the Western Bulldogs Instagram today, and they've just done a photo shoot for Rick's Eyewear, the whole team.
Yeah, we had Josh Dunkley. Josh Dunkley did the pop up shop there, Dill, and then we had a little private photographer in there that was in quarantine with the boys and managed to get some shots on the Google Drive and some fellas, mate. No doubt the dogs will be flying. Next week, they'll be looking better than they play. So, good on you, boys.
And the retina protection too, the eyes, because we've obviously got the new optical now, Tommy, as well, that the eyes will be fantastic.
We've got prescription glasses, in all seriousness. We're online now. That took a lot of work. The sunglass collection we've got coming up in about a month is going to have a vintage little style of 6 colours. We've got 3 new girls' colours, and then we've got another... a larger frame for the bigger noggin.
Mick, pay attention. Perfect.
Bigger snoz, not the noggin.
We've got the Dylan Friends code, obviously.
Yes, so drop Dylan Friends at checkout there, Dill, and you'll get a nice discount. But yeah, thanks, mate. It's been good. Doggies boys are legend.
Hey, Tommy, you're a big NFL fan. Of course, you know what the great Deion Sanders said. You know, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you play good, you play good. They pay good. And that's what's going to happen if you're wearing the Rick's.
That's it, mate. That's spot on. And that's why the boys will dominate next Saturday.
And I'll pinch a bit there. So Traynor's getting the Doggies boys to do. He'll probably get the Demons over the weekend. And you were Traynor was the emergency 2013 Grand Final.
He was. Nearly played.
Maybe it would have changed the result if he did somehow. No, it wouldn't have.
Maybe. We would have won you if you don't miss in front of the sticks, mate. Like a straight play.
It would have been hard to get you out there because you were out there selling 4 or 5 tickets before the game in the warm-up top.
That's not true, by the way. That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Can't hustle a hustler.
Gentlemen, we're doing the grand final show and we have not even mentioned the grand final yet.
It's been a football press on
this
trainer.
This is what we need. This is what we need to go through. But before we do get into the grand final, in all seriousness, tone changes now. We're talking grand final. Mick, you're the only one who's ever been out there. Give us a bit of insight into this week, what it's like to be a player in the week leading up. They've got 2 weeks, mind you. So they're going to have friends and family texting them, good luck. There's going to be some really weird texts from just people you've never spoken to asking for tickets. What goes through the mind of a player going into this week, and how big is it and how much of annoyance is it actually from the outside perspective?
It's the role of, and we'll straighten right up here, the role of the coaches and the footy admin and all that early in the week is unbelievable. They'll get you in. Again, the 1 week lead up is all condensed. I remember we went on a Saturday night to go in, and by the Sunday morning we were there at the club and the coaches were saying, righto, all ticket requests need to be in by 6 p.m. tonight. From there, that's done. Then this is our schedule for the week, that's done. This is when we're flying over. This is all this. So by, and again, I reckon that would have been this whole week for Western Bulldogs in Melbourne, just to enjoy what they've done on the weekend and prepare for what that game looks like in terms of tickets, all that stuff, what the schedule looks like. As of, I reckon, what is it? Today, we're Saturday. Into it today, into the next week, into that 1 week from the game, bang, we're on. And it's all footy. It's all about, right, training. It's all about recovery. It's all about the meetings and prep for the game. So that there won't be any of that garbage from now on about tickets and media and all that stuff.
There's been times that I've heard that players are playing in grand finals, it's the biggest week of their life, and they've got Joe Blow that they haven't spoke to in 5 years hitting them up for 5 tickets for the game.
I've heard a story, I'm not sure if it's sourced, that back when Ross Lyon was at Sydney,
happy to verify it,
Ross Lyon was at Sydney in the 05-06 era, he was an assistant coach, and a player who I won't name, and again, I'm not sure if it's sourced, but you'll verify.
Name him, your weak dog.
And someone comes running onto the bus, like a random, onto the bus with a bunch of flowers or a gift pack for a player. And Ross is just looking like, you know, on the bus, the way to the grand final is just stone cold. We're silent. We're not talking. We're getting ready for the game. The generation's changed a bit now. Oh, they'll be carrying on like pork chops. The doggies, like Cody Waitman, will be buzzing. Yeah,
he's around. Be doing chin-ups or something.
He's a star.
But I heard it was death stares. Then after the game, it was just like, nah, that's not on. Like, what's going on here? You can't have a random running onto the bus with a gift pack before the bloody game. That's one I've heard. None specifically to me, apart from Traino asking for me tickets Saturday morning of the grand final.
Yeah, that's not on train.
Everyone thought I was playing. I was the third emergency in me full kit, and everyone's going to me, old man, he's in. I'm just putting the kit on. He's got the grand final.
See how it looks.
Where did we wake up the next day, train? You and me. Oh, this morning, mate. After.
Woke up in me suit with me boots on, and I got Scotty Baker hounding us. He goes, the bus is here, boys. Are you ready? I'm like, I'm ready to go out. I'm not ready to go home. Had the full suit on. It was a big night, wasn't it, at Eve back in the day there?
Eve post grand final 2012. I was there with the Swannies. I was in the emergency category like you, trainer.
Did win that year?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, so we drank a lot of piss because we were all depressed. But you would have been.
Yeah, see, you guys were drinking to forget, which is the worst one. Yeah. We were drinking to remember, which you don't. Mummy rocked up late to the fan day at South Melbourne.
Oh, that vision is unbelievable.
He just runs onto the stage. He's wearing, remember those like Kermit the Frog green fluoro ASICs, the horror ASICs. Yeah. You're just like, mate, we need these out of here. Like, you know someone's wearing them in the next suburb, let alone if there's one of them on a stage with you. And Mummy comes running on late. He's like, everyone's getting drunk off his breath. and he just flies on. Anyway, in the lead up to that grand final, speaking about like straightening up, I'll never forget this meeting we had with Horse. So Horse is John Longmire. And so he basically brings in the 25 players who are going to be either playing or the three emergencies and the senior coaching staff and player welfare staff, and that's it. And Horse just starts going, it's going to be a big week, boys. There's going to be a lot of outside noise, but at some stage, shut it down. Your wives, your girlfriends, your partners, they're going to be into you at some point. Shut them down. People are going to be asking you for tickets. That's fine. At some point, shut them down. He just started shutting down everyone.
I love that shutdown.
Anyone who... So, but then, like, after we won the game, all the boys started going up to Horse. And Horse is like... like we've just won. They're like, at some stage, Horse, you've got to shut it down.
Like, that's so good.
Like, he's like, I was just nervous, you know.
I love the big Horse Longmire. I don't even know him, but he seems like an absolute champion. He loves shutting it down. Hey, Tommy.
He's a big shutter down.
You are, I wouldn't say an expert, but I'll say you're interested in the granny. You've been there. You've played a lot of finals football, and you're a good man. Who wins, mate? Who wins and why?
I'll tell you who wins. Tony Bahagio, he's got the Canfield outside and it fits 5,000 people out of their bill. So he'll be a winner. In terms of the game, oh, mate, I've honestly got no idea. You're going to have a go at me for sitting on the fence. I have no idea. Every game I've called the last 2 weeks hasn't gone anywhere that I thought. Like, you know, I just didn't think they'd be that big of a blowout. So, I don't know. I honestly would flip the coin. I think it's going to be a cracker. I think this is shaped up to be...
Yeah, that wasn't... Just give me a team.
No. Nah. Well,
the doggies did the Rick shoot, so I reckon you'll go for the dogs.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't want to lie to you. I'm going to lie to you.
We're going to have to shut him off.
Yeah, well, just give us someone. I'm the same as you. I cannot physically... Like, it's literally in my head. No, you think now...
No, you can physically, but...
I can.
You won't.
I'm going to give someone, but I'm saying, realistically... I totally agree with Tommy saying this could be one of the most even grand finals going in. They both absolutely dismantled the preliminary finals. If you'd say one thing, I reckon Melbourne are more in form. Like, they're more in form going in. They've played better footy. They've got their stars in
form. The Bulldogs have won more games in the last 3 weeks.
Exactly. And also the Bulldogs, I think, have more role players. I think they have more players that are going to play roles throughout the game, and we'll get into that later, but that's why I sort of really do like the Bulldogs going in.
Mick, you're the person who has been, I guess, closest to preparing players that out of all of us recently in terms of like from a coaching perspective, one game in 27 days for the D's. How do they wrap their heads around that?
So again, in the watching behind, like reading into what they're doing, the Doggies have hardly trained and probably won't train. You know, well, not train. They'll do some craft sessions and they'll have a run around.
Bit of touch and that
bit
kind of stuff.
Yeah, a bit of touch and that. Get around, slap up. The D's in their week off into their prelim had a full-blown like 60-minuter. As Traino just does a bit of work with the foot. He's got itchy palms, the big fella. But the D's are approaching it a lot differently. I think they had a match sim today. So they're...
That was full contact,
they're
wasn't
intimately
it?
Aware that they have to get that knock and get that touch on in terms of physical match practice compared to the Dogs. So different approaches by both teams.
I think the test for the D's in that aspect though will be is that was the same knock on them going into the final against Geelong. They thought, you know, the D's traditionally back in the day you'd go the D's or they get ahead of themselves. I reckon they've stamped that out of their game now. They are hardened, they've got their in form and they're ready to go. So that's why I do think it doesn't matter for them. When you've got guys like Max Gorn, who's obviously the leadership of him in the last 4 weeks, it's been unbelievable. Like I think over the last 3 years, Max Gorn's been a gun and he'd be remembered forever. But this is going to stamp him into like a Hall of Famer, I think.
Oh, 100%. And I think, Train, you'd agree, and Ross Lyon would have talked about this with you, Mick. I only know that because he's like all the Swans stuff was the same. It's like there's like premiership style football. And the Demons we've seen this year is premiership style football. Like they defend hard. They defend hard. You don't get any easy goals. You don't get any easy scores against them. And then if you show even an inch of a weakness, they exploit it immediately. And it's brilliant to watch, like as a never was. Like you're watching, you go, far out, that's what all of my coaches were talking about. That's exploiting an opponent's weakness. And that's what we're seeing. And Simon Goodwin has done an amazing job with that side.
I think, yes, you've summed it up brilliantly. And even now that I'll give my tip, because no one's given a tip yet.
I reluctantly, like because I'm getting forced, I'm saying the Dogs. But I honestly don't know.
I'm going to go with the D's. Because for a few facts, like they've played one game in 27 days, but at the same time, they've done that because they've been so dominant since the finals have started.
Oh, I'm going D's. Fuck it.
Yeah,
I'm going
so D's win. My take on it is I don't know how the Dogs kick enough of a score with... you mentioned in terms of playing your role on the day and not being reliant on too few. Like Stephen May can have a down day in the grand final knowing that Jake Lever and Harrison Petty, who's very unheralded,
mate,
can step up and bang and play their role significantly. If all three of them have a shocker, then they're in big trouble. But I have supreme faith in the back half, especially, of the Demons to restrict the Bulldogs' score. The midfield battle and all that, that's going to be, you know, minute. They've both got stars in there and they're both going to win their fair share of the ball. But the front half of the Dogs concerns me, whereas the back half of the D's is, jeepers.
One thing on that, Mick, just quickly before we go back to Train. Stephen May, a hamstring complaint. Mm-hmm. The thing that's great for him, I think, this year is that there is that 23rd player. So you can actually afford to play him knowing that you've got some gas out there on the outside. So from a coaching perspective, how do you attack that?
That's the biggest concern is the teams aren't out yet. There's two key players. Maisie's got the hamstring, whether we know how bad it is. And Bont, I mean, he sounds like he's all good. How good is he? We know he hurt himself. Two key players for both teams. And I don't reckon the max fitness matters. I think you've all played the game 1-2 weeks off, if anything helps. I watched the D's live last week. I know they played Geelong, so a different outfit. And they got outside them. But, mate, I've only seen D's play live, but what I saw last week was unbelievable. And when Gorney goes forward, mate, I don't know who's gonna stop these guys up forward because they've got a real dynamic forward line. So with my head switched on, I think history says top four teams win. D's are flying. They're fresh. They've been over here longer, less travel. But so I would say D's would win, but in saying that, from speaking to the Dogs, they've got so much belief, and you know they've just done it. They've done it all year, and they've done it again. And
I think it'll be a cracking game, so I can't wait.
So he's
to
just sat on the fence again.
You sat on the fence again. I would just to sum this up. Like,
gun to my head, you decide.
Just
pull the trigger.
What Train said is the D's are the most informed team. Okay, we all agree they've got the The D's are the most informed team. They're the best team going into this grand. Like, in terms of form, they have dominated the game.
Their last quarter against Geelong, which just turned it on its head, they pulled it back. Last quarter in round 23. And then two really dominant finals.
Yeah, and they've got the system. They've got, as you said, Lever, May, these types of guys.
Petty.
The Petty, all these sort of guys. Whereas you go to the Dogs, they are the most... They've got the most belief. They've done it before.
There's a bit of an enigma about the Dogs, in my opinion.
Done it before, and you look at their players, their role players are incredible. You've got guys like Josh Shackey who, you know, without speaking out of school, realistically, we were worried about him going into this year. He's absolutely dominated last week playing on Alir Alir. If he can go do a role like that on a Jake Lever going into the grand final, it can play a massive role into them winning. But I think, to sum up what I'm trying to say here, is... The Dogs to win have to nullify a lot of the Demons players, whereas the D's to win just have to play really well as a team.
Last time that we played, do you know who won, boys?
The Dogs.
By 20. But Brucey was playing. So it's just going to give me a new team. It's going to be a new game. It's a quick fun.
I think Josh Bruce doesn't get spoken about enough in terms of importance to teams. Brucey's a star.
But also takes out... He would take out a... Defender. Probably a Petty he would take.
Because if you don't respect Bruce, he absolutely puts up 5 to 6 scoring shots against you. And that can be 6 goals. You know, so you put one of your best defenders on Josh, probably your 1A.
Well, he would have won the Coleman, I think.
He was flying. Yeah. So for him to go down in the fashion that he did, and fuck Brucey, mate. We're bleeding for
Adam Tomlinson as well.
Yeah, Adam Tomlinson as well, yeah. Earlier on in the year. Bleeding for both you boys. That just sucks.
Just on those two boys, because this is fitting, and obviously friends of the show, like Tomo, I've played with him since I was in under-12s. Absolute legend. Heartbroken for him. Brucey the same. He's just an absolute star. What have you made of the rules that have been of late with this tidbit going around about players getting a medal if they don't play in the grand final? I'll go first.
Yeah, go first and set the scene so we can see how hard or soft we have to be.
I think the beautiful part of our game is that it's a ruthless game. And you look at guys like Bob Murphy in the past that missed out in the grand final. And speaking from a player that I was at a team when they won the grand final, I had nothing to do with their win. I didn't play in the game. I don't think I deserve a premiership medal in that. And even if I'd have played a game that year, I don't think it's relevant. I think, unfortunately... A special part, but also a very hard part, is if you play in the game, you get the premiership medal.
Well, I was at the Swans 2012. I played sort of half of the games that season. I was the first emergency, did the warm-up, like just missed out. My last game was round 23. Played really well, but got dropped because Nick Smith came back in. Fair enough. Blokes a gun. Blokes went on to win it. I didn't touch the cup because I was like, well, that's not mine, you know? Like... I totally get the everyone should get a medal. Personally, nah.
It doesn't diminish I've never won a premiership. Yeah. I've been within an environment that has, but hoping to one day. But I'm in accordance with you guys. I think it's just the guys that play. Because those guys that miss out and all that, everyone understands the response, like the impact everyone's had. And there's going to always be the hard luck stories. Bruce Tomlinson at the front of mind, one Drew right now.
Even Jones.
Nathan Jones. Yeah. Exactly. But Nathan Jones, the Bob Murphy story, and Bob Murphy, the enigma of Bob Murphy, is actually it's multiplied by the fact that he didn't play in that grand final. And people remember, oh, he didn't get a premiership medal, and that's so sad. If everyone was getting a premiership medal, I'd be like, oh, well, Bob got his medal. And everyone would actually forget the fact that it was pretty strong, in terms of the circumstance. He misses out on a premiership medal. Agree. I think it's part of our fabric. It's part of the way we operate. And only for the players that play that day, as ruthless as it can be.
Tommy, let's start with you. I love talking about this.
No, finish.
I didn't really want his
opinion. as a fringe player my whole life, I think it does, because I've done it. I've done two grand finals. I was the 26th man. I was, depending on Phil, if he was in or out, I was coming in.
Tommy, just to confirm on that, though, we were out the night before the grand final and you would have been in no shape to play.
Oh, well, I shouldn't have been in the team meeting room the next morning, I know. Anyways, I was sitting next to Mumford smelling like him. Oh. That was,
just to throw back to this, I'm sorry to cut, Tommy.
From 5 years ago.
If anyone remembers.
Are you sure the whole team wasn't out with you the way they played that day?
Fuck, I don't know. We set the tone for the boys. But into just on that story before Tommy finishes, that was a night we were on the footy show. With Chompers, TJ, and that was the day.
Oh, was this the day that Rick's really got a bit of airtime?
Yeah.
I think we both did. I had the Dylan Friends day on, and what happened was, Dylan, I got the footy show. I want to do a live cross, and I think we should do it together. And I was in the squad still, waiting for Phil's test. And Dylan Ladison texted me. You know, it was beers or no beers. And just before the live cross, because I was quite nervous to be honest. Like me and Dill were like, we don't know what we're doing, but we'll just carry on like peanuts. And he goes, mate, feels good to go. You're out of the squad. And I said, brilliant. So we got about three beers into us really quickly because we were nervous. And then, it just escalated. And before you know it, it's 2 a.m. And I'm like, fuck, I've got to get home, man. I've got to be in some sort of shape for tomorrow. And, I had the worst hangover I've ever had. I'm rolling around the boys. Good luck today. He's just come on, big daddy. I always thought I was fresh as a day. He's like, you coming for a walk? No, I'll let you boys go. I'm in the sport. And it was a sad day. And it was a hard day, obviously. And then we backed it up. And, it was a pretty big night there. It was a funny 24 hours.
It was. Hey, going into the game, one thing that is so important in big games and one thing that I love to look at is the biggest matchup going into this game on the weekend. Who do you think, what's the biggest matchup you're going to go, all Norton, right, bang, is
Norton,
it?
Norton v, I think, May. I think they'll say Maisie stay deep. I think that's the biggest matchup for me, personally.
I reckon Lever goes to Norton.
If he does, then I still want to see what they do, because if Lever goes to him, Norton might take him up the field. Therefore, there's no roll-off. Look, I just think Norton, whoever he plays, is the biggest matchup.
I'm going with Max Gawn, Steph Martin. Max Gawn's had a bit of a run around the last couple of weeks against, I shouldn't say underwhelming opponent, but Reece Stanley, he's shown him a clean pair of heels a couple of times. Then at Brisbane also, he got a hold of McInerney. The Steph Martin one, he is just an ox.
Martin
and just
could
some,
go,
he
man. Will,
and that's all he'll be instructed to do, just go. And play. And I reckon they'll throw some little tricks from Bevo's box, the way that Melbourne play the ruck and they put him behind the ball, they trust him to play defence. Is it just Steph Martin, you run around with Gawney, and then English, when you're in the ruck, it's just tag the ruckman and see what comes of that, because clearly Gawney's played a big game and he won't replicate that game in the grand final he played the prelim, but his impact...
You don't know.
Well, no, I'm going with it. He's not going to kick 5 goals and have 20 possessions.
He could have 6 and kick 21.
Anyone will. That was the best game I've ever seen a ruckman play.
Andrew McLeod, I think 97, kicks 7 in the prelim, getting tagged by Libba, and then follows it up by winning the Normie.
That's fucked up.
So just throwing that out there, a bit of knowledge. Sorry. Yeah, I think it was 97 or 98, whichever one.
Have you got a matchup?
Huh?
Have you got a matchup?
No, but
he's right.
So despite just smoking Mick, I agree with him. I think the Max Gawn matchup. Like, if you give first delivery to either of these midfields, they will chop you. Uh-huh. They will absolutely chop you. And because they're, like, both midfields are so good, if they have a slight advantage from the hit-outs to advantage, I think they're really going to hurt you. And we know how important that direct inside 50 is, especially now with the 6v6. We know how much you can get hurt. If you give the astronaut one-on-ones, he's going to win 66% of them. So, yeah, I mean, whoever wins that... I'm saying midfield, but I'm going to go with Ruckman. So whoever wins out of Gawn and Martin, I think wins the game.
Oh, I don't even think Martin has to win it. He just needs to bring it back a little bit, doesn't he?
That's a good point.
Love it. I've got two, and they'll be quick. Shacky...
still haven't got Train's tip, by the way.
Shacky will go to Lever.
I said Demons will win earlier, Mick. Open those big ears, brother.
Shacky will go to Lever, and I think that if he can play a good role on him, that'll go a long way for the Dogs to playing really well in that game. And secondly, I think an underrated matchup of this game and two players that love the big stage is Taylor Duray on Cozzy Pickett. I think that this could be, honestly, one matchup that could go either way. Either Taylor Duray will be able to shut him down or Cozzy Pickett will kick five. And I just can't see it. So we've seen Cozzy Pickett play. He's so fucking exciting. And I feel like he relishes these big opportunities. But Taylor Duray's also been there and done that with the Hawks and loves playing finals footy. And you could argue that he's the most informed player nearly at the Bulldogs.
Just quickly on that, I think we saw one of the most clutch moments of this whole final series, ball going over the back of Taylor Duray and Charlie Cameron.
You would not want to be chasing Charlie Cameron.
No, thanks, because he's on a Harley. He's already on the Harley. He's already on it. And he's in fifth gear, I think.
He goes straight to sixth. He's got no gear.
Yeah. And then he drops the NOS, which is a fart, straight to your nose. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Remember when I started, me and Cam Stuckless used to play on him, and in kick-ins, he used to stand in the middle of the ground and his job was to sprint back to goal. I couldn't hand over quick enough. I said, Squeak, you take him, mate. I'm going to the woods.
Man, and like, so like, it's like, you put that into context. Like, Taylor Duray, no disrespect to his foot speed, no one's looking at him going, oh, mate, he covers the ground well. He's just he's a great player, makes great decisions, courageous, smart. No one's going, oh, put him out on a tartan track. And what he did late in that final, it's a great matchup,
Dylan. I'm really looking forward to that one. Traino, Norm Smith for us. Okay, you're a betting man. You got to put someone on. Who do you think?
Yeah, I reckon it'll be a midfielder, and I'm going to go with the track.
I'm going to go with Caleb Daniel.
You like Caleb off halfback? Make up a lot of football. Time?
Track for me.
Big goal.
Clayton Oliver, the boy from Marupna Dougie. So the blue and white hoops there. He's putting on the red and the blue. Give him hell, Clayton. You should be the Norm Smith medalist this year.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Traino, you keep those big ears down to the ground, don't you, a lot? What's the news over there? Now, we're finished on grand final.
Our news correspondent. We've all been...
Can we just go through again to confirm...
Just go live.
Confirm again, Train, who you're tipping just lastly, just to get that final in. Was it Melbourne?
Yeah, I think Melbourne will win.
Okay, fantastic. You're Melbourne?
I'm Melbourne. Melbourne by 8 points.
You're Melbourne? All right, I'm going to go D's just to I don't like doing the train. I've changed three times this show. Yeah, that shows how fucked this is. It could be one of the best games ever. Traino, give us, just to finish up, give us your surprise move, trade target at the end of the year. Now, I know grand finals are fun, but my favourite time to use trade time. It's not as fun when you're on the chopping block, but when you're out of the game these days, it's very good to watch.
Mate, I'm struggling to keep up with that question because I don't really know what's doing. Can you guys start? Clearly the big one over here is Chera, and where is he going?
Yeah, that was 6 months ago. Okay, now, Mick, we'll go to you. Anything?
I don't know.
Don't cop that train. Yeah. Just because it was six months ago, mate. I tell you what, James Bond came out like 70 years ago and we're still talking about the next James Bond, mate, so don't take that shit.
It's so good cutting train off when he's not here, like, because you just can't hear him.
In 12 months' time, when Buddy finishes his 15-year contract that it seems like he's been at the Swans for, he's still got a bit of footy left in him. I think he's going to finish his career at Freo. So there's one for 12 months' time when we do our show. But in this off-season... Tone's shaking his head there because I took it off him. And I'm going to go with Bradley Hill's going to do a flipper at some stage over the next month and go back to Fremantle. He's going to do the Hawthorn, Fremantle, St Kilda, and then flip all the way back to Fremantle. Well, there you go. You want off.
I loved it. That's great.
Max King to the Suns.
Oh, that's off. I like that. Because everyone's saying that Ben's leaving.
Suck eggs, boys. That's
a leak.
He signed a four-year contract at St Kilda, but...
Oh, my God. Has a contract ever been broken? Let me think. I don't know. Never? No.
I like that. Traino, where's Matty Tabanar going?
The big duck. Big Wayno. Dude,
every time Jill asks me a question, I'm just going to start doing this. I got no idea. Who gives a fuck? All I know is Fremantle. Fremantle needs another wingman. I'm expecting Peter Bell to call me. Belly. Yeah, the best wingman in WA. I'm ready. There you go.
Gentlemen.
I'm back in the retro, baby.
Hey, Traino, show us. Show us some of your touch with that footy in front of your face. Just show us if you still got it.
Look at this, mate. What do you want?
They call it the train
track. They call it the train track. He goes both hands, you know? I actually named the train track.
Train, just finishing on this. This isn't something I'm proud of, but me and Traynor had done like 14 casts each in our last season. And how many times do you reckon we nearly punched on doing touch at the end of training? Because you'd fucking cheat. You would cheat.
Mate, we'd never go,
we can't go against each other. We'd genuinely fight.
In train track?
No, we'd just punch on.
You know when you know it's over. When you're doing out at Blacktown, you're doing train tracks.
Oh, how do you know
that the footy dream, the lights just dimming out?
Doing, I don't know how they took it seriously.
With the train in Western Sydney, you're thinking it is time to pull
at least, us. At least the light went out for me under the bright lights and the city skies at Brunswick.
It was grim, especially when it's a Saturday session and there's four blokes there and there's more bloody... There's more rehab coaches than players. That's when you know you should probably hang in the
Aren't place. Rehab coaches, and we're waffling on, but aren't rehab coaches the most optimistic people in the world? You get there, you literally, mate, I know 110% I'm not getting a contract next year, and you still want me to try my ass off at the end. Like, I'm here just to have fun.
The best relationships I had at AFL clubs were with the physios.
Says a bit about him.
I always used to... Yeah, well, I had to knock around with this bloke.
What about the train? I used to live with you for 4 years.
Well, it's saying a bit about me. It's saying a bit about you, son. No, we had some good times, trainer. I owe you a couple of T-shirts. I know that much. But anyway, I used to say the bloody old physios, because they used to have to be up and about. The poor partners of physios, they would go home and just be like, I just need to be down. Yeah. I just need to have no energy here because I've been picking up bloody Tom Sheridan and Dylan Buckley's attitudes all afternoon.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to be Luke Heath at the Giants. I don't think you'd do it. Come on, mate.
No, not at all. Hey, Tommy, it's been incredible chatting with you and you two boys as well. Can't wait for you to get back into big
Tommy,
city, my friend.
Mate.
Hopefully you're back soon. Miss those big teeth. Miss your personality just annoying me, and I miss you.
Nah, I love you, boys. Love you. Thanks for having me. And
are you going to the game, just quickly?
Yeah, going to the game. We'll be going with a few mates, and yeah, can't wait. So, yeah, hopefully it stays. Hopefully the weather's good, and the town's kind of up and about, so it's good.
All right. And just give us that code. Just give us that code one more time, mate.
Yep. So, Rick.
All right. See you, mate.
friends at checkout.
See you, mate.
Oh, he got it in. I couldn't get him.
He's done at the end. Hey, boys, thanks so much for coming in. Looking forward to it. Get vaxxed. Anyone out there, let's get out. We're back in studio. How good is it getting a bit of camaraderie together again? Well, yeah.
It's nice to get a bit of Atmos.
Atmos is fun. It's nice. And friends are cool, man.
They are. And shout out to all those friends. And shout out to Tim Payne and his bulging.
Love you, boys. Thanks so much.
If that wasn't enough for you and you want even more, you're in luck. Dylan Friends is now on Patreon. Dylan Best Friends. If you'd like to learn more, you can head to patreon.com/Dylan Friends or you can head to the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you like the show, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, leave a review, or even share with your friends. The show is produced by myself and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual production. The show is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you'd like to get in touch or suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, please email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.